This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 18th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at how biodiesel is moving out of the hobbyist's garage and into the general public. We'll also get a forecast coming up from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. The Douglas County Sheriff's deputy who was shot during a crime spree in the county 4 weeks ago has died. Chief Deputy Tommy Martin was pronounced dead last night at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. The 59-year-old Martin was shot June 21st on a rural road in Douglas County. Two Chicago men, William Thompson and Yusef Brown, pleaded not guilty last week to attempted murder and other charges in connection with the incident. Those charges will likely be upgraded to murder. Authorities say the shooting came after the two men robbed a house and stole two vehicles before one of them shot Martin. Thompson also faces charges of taking hostages at a bank in Arcola that day. From new classrooms on the north side of Champaign to a new school building for Savoy, Unit 4 school district voters said no last year to a bond referendum for school construction. Now, Unit 4 officials are ready to try again. This time, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, they hope to come up with a long-range facilities plan that voters will support.
School Board President Dave Tomlinson says they'll probably wait until November of 2008 before asking voters to approve another referendum to fund school construction and renovation. In the meantime, Champaign School Board members formed a two-person task force last night to seek members of the public to serve on two committees to study the district's long-range building and curriculum needs. School Board Member Susan Gray says public support is crucial.
But I think this community input is critical to the success of what we want to do. I do not want this plan to come from the Mellon Building or from the Board of Directors. I want it to come from the community. I think it's the only way we can succeed.
Unit 4 will also advertise for a consulting firm to do a demographic study of the district. The data will help Unit 4 determine where and what type of new school buildings will be needed in the years ahead. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Construction could begin late this summer or early fall on a new water treatment plant west of Champaign. Champaign City Council last night voted 7-2 to approve an annexation agreement with Illinois American Water Company for the plant in Scott Township. The site is more than 2 miles outside the city. But Champaign officials say, according to a state Supreme Court ruling, they have immediate zoning power over the 40-acre site, allowing the plant to be built. But a group of Scott Township landowners says the water plant will bring traffic congestion to the area and divert water from their private wells. Roger Armstrong, whose land is adjacent to the water plant site, says they may go to court to fight the city council's decision. After saying for weeks and even months that a deal was near, those involved with talks to bring down electric rates in Illinois say they've come to an agreement. Under the deal, Illinois' Ameren and Commonwealth Edison customers will see about $1 billion in relief over the next 4 years. As chair of the Senate Environment and Energy Committee, Democrat James Claiborne of Belleville was a leader of those negotiations. He says once the relief is distributed through either rebates or bill credits, it'll mean Ameren customers will pay 20% more for power than last year, and ComEd customers would end up paying rates that are about 13% higher. But Claiborne says it'll be different for every household.
It's actually based upon a history of prior usage. So obviously, if you use more than you've used in the past, the percentages don't equate. They don't, because obviously you're using more power.
Claiborne also says Illinois will create a new agency that will help ensure that rates are as low as possible in the future. The agency will be responsible for procuring power and may one day build its own plants. Additionally, Claiborne says the deal includes money for other energy assistance programs. He says that it hopes the deal is finalized by the end of this week. Until then, some lawmakers who have been demanding rate relief are holding off calling the negotiations a success. Legislation meant to smooth the way for Illinois to win the bidding for the future Gen power plant is clear of the state house. Its sponsor says the House version now needs to be reconciled with the original Senate bill. Democratic Representative Kurt Granberg of Carlisle doesn't expect a problem there, and he's no longer worried that it could sit unsigned on Governor Blagojevich's desk as ongoing budget disputes wear on.
I was just concerned, but then we made substantial progress on the amendments, and I think the parties involved understood that we needed to do this now. So we can't wait till August 1st.
Granberg believes the bill will put Illinois on the same level as Texas. Sites in Tuscola and Mattoon are competing against two Texas sites for the future gen plant, which would use new techniques to drastically lower pollution from burning coal. The U.S. Department of Energy is expected to name a site in the fall. The bill would protect future gen's developers from liability. Illinois would also become responsible for the carbon dioxide deposits that future gen would send deep into the earth instead of spilling into the air. The latest in computer technology will let doctors, nurses, medical students, and others practice life-saving and patient relations skills more effectively. The main feature of that new technology is a life-size dummy of a patient. He's called SimMan, and he's programmed to breathe, show vital signs, and even speak or groan to signal his condition.
Oh, I can't breathe and my chest hurts. Help!
And medical staff at Urbana's Carle Foundation Hospital can go to extremes to revive him if need be.
VFib, let's shock that at 150 again, please. Charge.
Charging.
All clear. Everybody's clear. Discharge.
Shock delivered.
Okay, we have a change in rhythm.
Let's Karen Cundiff is a nurse and Carle's education specialist. She says before SimMan, training exercises were mainly done on paper or with real people playing patients.
You are in a situation of, what are you going to do? And then they'll say, well, I would do blah, blah, blah. Now they actually have to do it. So it gets them more hands-on training rather than just thinking about it.
A federal disaster preparedness grant paid for the $40,000 fake patient, which can also switch genders or be dressed with simulated wounds for additional training. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. For years, environmental activists have been demonstrating that you don't need gasoline to fuel a car. Some people have been retrofitting cars with diesel engines that can be powered by restaurant grease. But with the price of oil soaring in recent years, biodiesel has been getting more popular. Brad Linder of the Environment Report tells us it's moving from a fuel for hobbyists to an energy alternative that's even getting the attention of oil companies.
From a distance, Metro Fuel Oil in Brooklyn, New York looks like an oversized gas station. And in a way, that's what it is. Truckers pull up to a series of pumps, grab a hose, and load their tanks with oil. It'll be distributed to heating oil and diesel customers throughout the area. Tom Torrey is Metro's chief operating officer. He says starting next year, some of those trucks will be topping off with a blend of oil and vegetable-based biodiesel.
Kind of like if you ever seen a Sunoco gas station where they had the different octanes you can buy. Same thing with the bio. It'd be B5, B10, B20, B15s, whatever they might utilize.
In other words, you can get a blend. For example, B20 is 80% diesel and 20% biodiesel. For more than six decades, Metro's provided oil to residential and commercial customers. A few years ago, Metro began importing processed biodiesel from nearby states to fuel its own fleet of 40 trucks. But next year, the oil company plans to start taking in raw vegetable oil and processing it on site. Metro's planned 110 million gallon biodiesel processing facility will be one of the largest in the country. Torrey says Metro doesn't expect to get out of the oil business anytime soon, but the company does see a future for domestically produced fuels like corn-based ethanol and vegetable-based biodiesel.
It's good for the economy as well. I mean, you know, the numbers are astounding as to how much we spend a day, billions of dollars a day that is being spent on foreign imported oils that are going back to the Arabs where, and nothing against the Arabs, don't get me wrong, but it's money that's flowing out of the United States.
But as more and more facilities like Metro's pop up around the country, what happens to the nation's food supply? Bill Homberg heads the biomass division of the American Council on Renewable Energy. As the demand for vegetable-based fuels rises, he says so could the price of foods based on corn and soybeans.
I think there will be an increase in price in those, but I think it's beginning to level off now. I think people are beginning to realize that we can find other resources to make those diesel-type fuels.
Homberg says if you make biodiesel out of soybean oil, there will be less soybeans available for food processing. But that's not the case if you use restaurant grease. Homberg says there's no question biodiesel is more environmentally friendly than petroleum. It emits far less carbon monoxide, sulfur, and particulate matter than petroleum-based diesel. But he admits that it would take years before the young biofuels industry makes a real dent in the 40 billion gallon transportation diesel market. Metro's Tom Torrey doesn't think the oil industry is going away anytime soon. But he says the company is willing to invest $15 million in its new processing plant to help the environment and to get in on a growing industry. It doesn't hurt that Metro can sell biodiesel for almost the same price as oil. The federal and state governments provide tax incentives to biodiesel producers and customers. Currently, that means it's cheaper to heat your house with a biodiesel blend than with 100% petroleum-based heating oil. Without those incentives, Tory says Metro would still be opening a processing facility, just a much smaller one.
It would definitely not have been a 110 million gallon plant. You know, we could have started off with 5 million gallons, let's say, and just, you know, utilize it for people that really wanted to be green. But we still, when we took a hard look at it and we saw that it can be competitive, and especially last year as the price of petroleum just soared, is when we really started to say, you know what, instead of doing 5 million, let's go right to the 110 million.
Metro's new biodiesel processing plant, one of the biggest in the nation, is scheduled to open next fall. For the Environment Report, I'm Brad Linder.
The next piece is a spot version of that feature. It comes down in 3, 2, 1.
Metro Fuel Oil's been in the oil business for more than 6 decades. The company distributes heating oil and diesel to residential and commercial customers in the New York area. But next year, Metro will open a 110 million gallon biodiesel processing plant. Chief Operating Officer Tom Torrey says he doesn't think petroleum is going away, but he's excited about distributing domestically produced fuel.
It'll never overtake it, obviously, but even as much as we reduce the usage of it, it'll just help the country environmentally, you know, socially, economically, and that's why we're looking forward to putting this plant together.
Torrey says Metro will be able to process soybean, palm, and rapeseed oil that comes from East Coast farmers. State and federal tax incentives will let customers purchase the biodiesel for about the same price as regular diesel. For the Environment Report, I'm Brad Linder.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Weather has been wet over the past few days, and that's created a flash flood watch for much of central Illinois through early tomorrow afternoon. Our forecast for today in the north and in central Indiana, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms this morning, then some sunshine with scattered storms. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and hazy sun throughout the day with widely scattered showers and thunderstorms. The highs from 81 in northwest Illinois to 95 in southwest Illinois. For tonight, mostly cloudy in the north and central sections, with showers and thunderstorms most numerous in northwest Illinois. In the south, partly cloudy, and lows from 65 in northwest Illinois to 75 in southwest Illinois. For tomorrow, in the northern two-thirds of Illinois and Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy with occasional showers and thunderstorms again. In the south, increasing clouds with showers and thunderstorms arriving in the afternoon. And highs tomorrow ranging from around 80 in northern Illinois to 94 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.